side. Hello.
I started the timer. Oh, I'm sorry.
Fine.
No, I'm okay. I've started the.
Did you start the timer?
I'm not starting it again.
Okay. No. So we started.
I started.
Well, that didn't go right. We could have done that a little cleaner, don't you think?
This is such a clever segue.
You know, I'm going to change the topic right here and now. I was going to talk about starvation in Ethiopia, but I think we got a much more important topic here. The topic is when things go wrong. This is episode, you know, Greg's birth, for example. But they couldn't shove him back, and they just accepted him for what he was. He's very annoyed with me right now.
Well, not only that, but I hate to tell you, but your green screen is in the wrong position.
Well, let me introduce my green screen to you. My green screen is standing behind me. My name is Daryl Mendelson, and a co-hosted green screen. It doesn't look right either, bud. There.
Oh well, you know, it likes to belong. My green screen is Gregory Cohen's.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, let's just sit here for about 5 minutes of time and drink this in. Okay, we've done that. So things going wrong, like the green screen not being pulled up properly. I've thought of this topic because in the past 24 hours, I've had a major thing go wrong. Oh,
by the way, I just wanted you to know I'm timing on my phone. I just wanted to make sure you know I'm using my phone to time this. Yeah,
Greg is rubbing in that my story deals with the fact that I am iPhone-less right now. So here's the story. I'm going to try to make it quick because it's boring.
Hey, we got a lot of time. God knows something will go wrong in the meantime. You're kind of like right at the bottom of your screen. It looks terrible. Well,
fine. I spent a lot of time orienting myself properly. How's that? Is that better?
Oh, that's so much better.
Oh, my God. I can't believe how.
Man, there you go. Okay.
Perfect. Perfect. So here's the story. At my home, I've got steps, a step that goes up to the front door, and it's got little lights embedded. I had it constructed that way when I had my house, when I purchased my house. So I have a
very pretty
and a really pretty thing. And I love these lights. I've had them for 23 years. They keep going out. I have to got to lie on the sidewalk to replace the bulbs because you can't get to it except being on your side. And of course, people say, Daryl, you okay? A lot of people thought I had heart attacks in front of my house when I've been replacing the bulbs. So I finally got tired of replacing them, and I decided to go ahead and buy LED lights because they won't go out. So the day starts out where I put in one of the lights and it's working, and I get really smug because this is a low voltage wire that's woven through the rocks and stuff, and there's openings, and I said, okay, I'm going to use wire nuts for these things. And so I reached in on one of the openings and I cut the wire, and I realized there's not enough wire for me to work with, and now I have to replace the wire, which is going through conduit, and you have to use fish tape.
By the way, this is a fascinating story.
Yeah.
I'm really working hard not to be giggling through it since you said wire nuts. I just want Okay, go ahead. I'll try to regain composure
here. I'm going to talk about that physical malady I have a little bit later on. Yeah, that's a whole separate story.
Oh, okay. Anyway,
so I destroyed the thing, and now I'm looking to fix it. And to fix it, you got to find where the wire is under the ground. I called my electrician guy, and he's giving me a little bit of a story about how he's going to charge me for this, that, and the other thing. I can't do this, so I'm going to dig myself. And I'm digging work because I remember feeding that wire in when I first moved in. I had my neighbor help me. We had fish tape. We put it through. So I tried to say, where was this? I can't remember exactly where it was. So I'm digging. And I'm an old man. So I was like digging my own grave, basically. Yeah. And I got way down there. I hit water. I saw a restaurant that said Mugu Gaipan. I don't know what that's all about. And I can't. My whole yard right now is all dug up. And I said, okay, on Amazon, I'm going to go ahead and get a wire finder. It's a little electronic thing that makes noises when you're at the right place.
Yeah.
So,
and then you can also wander the beach and look for coins.
you could. So this crappy thing doesn't really work. I got it. I'm having a hard time. I have these piles of dirt. Someone's probably fallen in one of the holes right now. They're going to sue me. I'm really annoyed. I don't know what to do at this point. So Anyway, I'm the day's going on, and I get a call from my sweetie, and she just came back from a trip, and I'm bummed out about that. And I'm talking to her, and
wait, I think you better clear this up. You're not bummed out that she's just come back from a trip.
No, yeah.
Because that's what it's like. Yeah. Oh, damn, she's in the area again.
Thank you for that. See, it went wrong. I had an incorrect syntax problem there.
You absolutely did.
Damn. Okay. Well, thank you for solving that problem for me.
Certainly.
And I talked to her, and I put the phone down somewhere because I looked over at the side of my house, and the hose bib is leaking. I take the thing off. I depressurize it. I turn the water off, and there's still enough pressure in the hose. When I took the faucet off, it shot up two stories, and it completely wet the entire side of my neighbor's house. Another neighbor came out and said, "What's going on there? It looks like something out of a horror movie." And I've got water all over me. It's getting dark. I got to replace this thing. I go to Home Depot. I'm looking at faucets. They don't have the exact kind of thing. I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. I do my own repairs at home. And so I got a thing, and I pipe taped it, and I put it in. And in the meantime, I'm looking for my phone. Can't find my phone. I look all over. You've all misplaced your phone. I've looked high and low. I cannot find it. I had also stopped at Walmart. So I went back to Walmart. I went back to Home Depot to look at the places there, gave my information to the managers, call me if anybody finds it. Somebody says, "Hey, Daryl." They didn't say Daryl because they don't know me from Adam, but that's in my mind. They called me Daryl. "Daryl, do you have insurance on your phone?" I go, "Oh my God, I do. I don't know if it's any good anymore because I bought it when I got the phone." I go home and I pull out my Apple insurance policy. And wouldn't you know, Apple Care Plus, you see that?
Yeah,
I bought that 2 years ago. It says your insurance is good through, see this down here, March 28th.
March 28th, that's today.
It's today. I go, God's smiling on me. Finally. So I go and I call them, and I'm on with a chat with some guy in probably India or something, and he's trying his best to help me, and basically he's putting up links. "Look, click on this." I said, "I'm here talking to you. Don't give me links." And turns out that there's a different kinds of Apple Care Plus. There's Apple Care Plus, and then there's Apple Care Plus that covers lost phones. Well, I always assume when I buy the insurance that it's going to cover lost phones. Mine does not. Isn't that nice?
You made the mistake of buying the Apple I don't care at all.
The Apple I don't care. I got the Apple I don't care policy. Oh my God. So I'm going to have to go get another phone today. So I'm really bummed out about that. And I walked to the side of my house going, "Well, let me look over where the hose bib was." And I put this new hose bib up in the dark, and the new freaking hose bib is leaking again. I'm gonna have to take care of that. I'm really pissed. So
when you remove the hose bib,
yeah,
strangely enough, you're going to find your iPhone crammed inside the nozzle.
Either that or the spray of water that shot at my neighbor's house probably shot my phone on top of his roof.
It's actually sitting up there.
So little things like this happen all the time. I joke, I contend that there is a God. And for some reason, he hates me because I find myself, it's a bad habit. I go around when things go wrong, and every day there's little things, you know, you say something or you stub your toe or something. But I'm always saying out loud when no one's there, "Good one, God. Oh, you got me good there." I know God is constantly in the mode of, "What can I do to screw up Daryl Mendelson today?"
If indeed there is a God.
Yeah.
And if indeed he is, you know, an eternal being.
Yeah.
You are serving a great purpose because he's got to be really bored.
Yeah,
and his hobby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is chastising you and seeing what kind of stories he can
put you through. I found a note one morning, and it was in celestial golden gilt, and it said basically, "I'm honing my comedic skills. I'm planning on doing stand up sometime, and I'm just working on you." My whole 5 minutes, God says, is going to be about how I'm screwing you up. Anyway,
oh my God.
So it's a question of how do you handle stuff like that? And now having a sense of humor in the midst of a mini crisis,
it does help.
I get upset, but having a sense of humor, I can joke about it, and I do joke about it in the midst of it. And you know, I try to get by it that way. And I'm sure everyone has their own technique.
Yes,
some people kill commit murder. I tend to just go ahead and say, oh, thank you, God. That, yeah, please, God, can I have some more? Remember that? Anyway, I was thinking about it. So that was one of my stories about the iPhone and the faucet and cutting the wire. I shouldn't have done that. I mean, all these, no. So many elements to that story, and everything went wrong. I'm just really still upset about it. I hope you can not tell that. And then I was thinking about other things. What other things can I think of my life? Well, there was the time when I was a little boy and I was mowing the lawn for my mom. I was so happy because, you know, I kept using the gas-powered mower. I was a little kid. And I went around the
corner. You ran over the dog.
Well.
Oh, no. Over.
Yeah.
No. And
I miss Fluffy. How dare you make so light of it?
Oh.
Yeah. No, I went over and I chopped off the head of several sprinklers on the side of the house. And I said, I don't think that's supposed to happen. The sprinklers grew too high and I cut them off. Now they're just the right height. So there's that. And
don't forget your marriage.
First Fluffy and now my marriage. And if you knew the story correctly, I ran the mower over both of them. They were sunbathing. It's a terrible story.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, I did forget my marriage. Thank you for reminding me of my failed marriage.
Anytime.
Okay.
Anytime. We both have one of those.
The good news is she got married and she's got grandkids and she's very happy. So that's the good thing. So I am a conduit.
That wasn't the order. He got divorced. Then she was very happy. Then she got married and had kids.
If only I had died, it would have been the icing on the cake.
Half measures.
And I thought, here's another story. So, you know, some people like to put the chlorine tablets in their toilet to make them nice and bright and pretty. And I've done that through the entire time I've had this house. And I like to keep the nice smelling and all that kind of stuff. Well, I've got rubber, as we all do, but my particular toilet mechanism has a rubber gasket. I've ended up buying like a whole bag full of them because of the kind of thing I'm about to tell you. Those chlorine tablets, they go ahead and they cause, you know, breakdown of rubber over time.
Sure.
So the gaskets I would replace and the toilet's running, but they also can eat away at the rubber that is the washer under the bolts that hold the tank to the toilet over time. And they can deteriorate. And, one day I was having somebody come over and spend the night, and about 2 hours before their arrival, I said, oh, I don't believe that there's a lake on the second floor. Is the little boating service here? And what's going on? And the toilet had broken through the bolts, and I had a water spill, and I had to clean that up. And I had a Home Depot has a whole section, a whole aisle with my picture dedicated to me. And in that aisle somewhere is my phone. But anyway, those are kind of stories, and Greg's got a story that
just recently. In fact,
tell us about that.
A little sneak peek behind the scenes.
Okay,
these podcasts aren't as flawless as they appear, because after we record them, then I take them and I don't edit them per se. I will tell you all this, but I don't cut anything out. But for those of you who watch it, you'll see things will pop up and little pictures here and there and some funny little scrolls sometime at the bottom. And so I do that in my iMovie app on my computer. And I usually try to get that done within a day or two of when we do this, because I like to get this stuff out, you know. I need to get it to Daryl because he puts it up on the internet, and we know if we miss it by even a day, we get, oh God, the emails and complaints.
Hate mail.
Oh my God, it's just terrible.
The hate mail that comes is because we actually do put it on the internet.
Oh, that's right. I always get that mixed up. Anyway, so I was last week, we talked about, you know, eyesight and ocular events. In fact, these are my new glasses, just so I know you've all been anticipating. Aren't they beautiful? Anyway.
So handsome.
So I edited the whole thing, got it done very quickly. If you're watching that last episode now, you'll see I did almost nothing to it. So there you go. But I got it done very, very quickly. And the next step after doing any editing is to render the video so that we can put it up. I don't know exactly what that means. I guess it reformats it in a certain way. I don't know. But I did that. Well, as it was in the process of rendering, I got a little pop-up message on my computer that said something about Dropbox backup. I don't know. I'm one of those idiots. Something comes up on my screen and it's like, oh, I guess that's got to happen. Click yes.
Yeah.
I don't read it. Even if I read it, I don't tend to understand it, you know, because a lot of this stuff comes up. I don't know what they're talking about.
Did you get a text message saying, do you by any chance know Daryl Mendelson? And are you a friend?
I did.
Yeah, I have,
click yes, and his iPhone will disappear. It was great. Anyway, so I clicked yes on this thing. And then I went on to do something else while the video was rendering. Well, about a minute and a half later, all of a sudden, I get my iMovie closes down. This is odd. This is not supposed to happen. So I go to open it, and all of a sudden, every project that I had previously had in iMovie, and I had quite a few, they're all gone. Everything is gone. I try to open it up, a little pop-up comes up and it says, no projects in iMovie. Do you want to pull it from this backup? And I clicked on the only one that was an option and it says nothing there. It's not in those words because it's a Mac. So it says something about, but it's basically there's nothing there. And I couldn't find anything. Nothing was there. I called Daryl because Daryl understands computers more than I, but he knows jack shit about Macintosh. And he's trying to talk me off the ledge because I was really upset. I did not have a sense of humor about this.
No, you sounded very severe and serious.
I was very, very, very angry. I was angry at myself. I was angry at my computer. After 2 minutes, I was really angry at Daryl. He didn't fix my problem like this, you know. Yeah.
I was busy being tormented by God in that moment, so I didn't have the time.
And that was it. And I think, it doesn't matter what happened. I think I have everything saved. It may not be in the position that it used to be, and I might have to take some time to reconstruct some things, but I didn't lose anything.
Turn away for just a second. Look to the side a little bit, real quick. We thought it might be fun to put in a virus on your computer. With my extensive knowledge of viruses and malware, I had placed one in Greg's computer. Once a week, it's going to go down. Okay, we'll see how the fun ensues later on. All right.
So, no. So that was.
And you handled it well. Yeah,
I did handle it well. Once I got over the initial anger,
right,
and realized that I could find some of the things that we had done. For instance, we did not lose yet last week's episode. That would have really upset me. Not that it was really good, but but we put time in it on it. Yeah. And I didn't want to have to redo it and throw our schedule off again. Yeah. And then I had an actor's reel that I had to reassemble. And the nice thing is, when I reassembled it, I made it better. I took out some things that it didn't need to be there, and I shortened other things so that I could
lemonade out of lemons.
I made, but it was very upsetting. And just to play off what Daryl said, I did not deal with it with humor. I was very upset. I deal. However, when something like that happens, I kind of accept the inevitability of shit. happening in our lives. It happens. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that happens. And beating yourself up, you know, making yourself miserable about that isn't helping at all. Yeah. And so, you know, obviously we have that initial gut reaction and there's nothing to do about that. But I do realize that once I calm down, it happened. I'm not going to fret about it because fretting about it isn't going to help.
Wouldn't it be awful if this continued on beyond the grave? You see them lowering me into the ground. You hear knocking going, I can't find my phone.
We all deal with these things in different ways. It's
you have the initial shock and the initial being upset. And then at some point you have to make do with it. I mean, there's some things, I can't give you an example. There's some things, if I think about things from the past that had gone wrong, that still are effectively wrong, but I don't care about them anymore.
Right.
I can revisit, like, I wish that hadn't happened kind of thing. But you got to let it go. So you end up having.
Absolutely. You know, I was kidding Daryl about, you know, his first marriage or his only marriage ending. And, you know, being one of those things. Conversely, I can look at myself and talk about, you know, my first marriage actually beginning. That was a huge mistake.
We like to think of your first marriage as being training wheels on your marriage life.
It was training wheels attached to roller skates, attached to a slippery slope of misery.
And eating right before you went swimming, all those kind of things.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I was thinking it's kind of interesting, theatrically, because we talk about theater and we both do it, or you're doing it more than I am right now, but there are a couple shows that have to do with things like that. One we talked about, and maybe you can go into detail a little bit, the play that goes wrong. The other one I was thinking of, there's a Neil Simon play. It's not done that often. It's called God's Favorite.
Oh, yeah. The story of Job.
The story of Job that put into a contemporary story with a current man who's married and what he goes through. It's not one of his better shows.
No.
But it's still...
It kind of goes wrong,
yeah, actually. But it puts him through all the trials and tribulations. They want him to, an angel appear wants him to renounce God, and he refuses to do that. So all his stuff and his businesses and his house and his home life, everything kind of goes kaput. But what about The Play Goes Wrong? Did you like
that? The Play That Goes Wrong is brilliant. And it's not just the single play. The company that does The Play That Goes Wrong also does, they had a television series for a while called The Show That Goes Wrong. I do suggest you watch the episodes on YouTube. They are hysterical. They've got one that's Peter Pan Goes Wrong, which they had online. It is coming live, I believe, to the Amundsen.
Oh, really? Oh, that's great.
I believe so. So I want to see if I can see that one. It's I've seen it, you know, on tape, and it's incredibly complex. What goes on with it? It's hysterically funny. But yeah, it's a whole company, quote unquote, that goes wrong, and so they do things. Just wonderful stuff. The entire, in The Play That Goes Wrong, the entire set collapses, basically. It's an amazing thing to watch.
And things happen throughout an entire full-length play. Things go wrong constantly, and they're funny. And you think, well, how many things can they come up with? And have it be happening in the context of the play that they're actually trying to perform.
Yeah.
And it is just simply amazing. This is really a show for the set designer and the set builders. They really have to get the kudos, but the actors have to be very precise in their timing. And he's right, the set collapses, and it's just it is a very, very funny thing. That's
very clever.
That's online,
but,
too,
but it's, you know, that's, it's just the newest iteration of the same kind of theme. The show I recently directed, Noises Off. plays off the same thing.
Yep.
Everything goes wrong in it. There are many plays like that. There are a lot of fun shows like that. One of more recent, the ones that I did, Drop Dead, also a lot of things going wrong in a theatrical production. Right. So it's a theme that works because we all have been there, whether it is in a show, in our lives.
Well, the theater is the very first one to step forward and make fun of itself. And that's where a lot of the shows are, because they are poking fun at the theatrical life itself.
Absolutely. Yeah. I will tell you, one of my favorite theatrical stories was when I was in just out of college, and I was doing summer stock theater. And in summer stock, just really briefly for those people that are not aware, you do a series of shows in repertoire. So while you're rehearsing one show, you're performing another one, and then that gets put into the whole cycle of shows that you're performing. You end up performing five shows during the summer, one after the other after the other, and you're rehearsing each one for a week only. In my case, and sometimes it's a little different, but in the case of the theater that I work at,
That's
you have 1 week of rehearsal for a full production. And you're also performing another show or multiple shows at night. So there's a lot going on. So it's rife with the possibility of things going wrong.
Right, right.
And one of the first shows that I was in, I was a supporting character. My character was not supposed to arrive for about 20 minutes into the first act. And I was just kind of hanging out backstage, listening to the show. And about 2 minutes into the show, I heard my cue. And the little doorbell went off, which was also my cue to go on. And I thought, oh, there's a whole bunch that happens before I come on that kind of explains to the audience what the hell is going on in this show. But I was there, and I thought, okay, this is my cue. So I got up there, and the main character opened the front door of the set, and I'm standing there, and he stood there looking at me like this. Eyes wide, mouth agape. You could tell, I'm just panic. I mean, sweat dripping off of his face. He was in a total panic.
Oh, boy.
And I came in and I gave him, you know, kind of an improvised line that I thought would get him back into knowing what he was supposed to be doing.
Right.
He just kept staring at me. He was like a statue. And I ended up doing probably a 5-minute monologue, just like, oh, well, you remember you said this and this and this. And then I take a pause and he just keep looking at me. And I think I was digging a hole deeper and deeper because he had no idea what was going on by the time I was finished.
Oh my God.
Finally, I kind of talked my way up to the point when someone else was supposed to come on stage.
That is so funny.
And then they kind of got back into it. But the audience, I don't think knew what was going on, but we had a great laugh about it later on.
Well, I briefly talked about the Mary Mary play where I was offset and I had to come back in because the people they were going in a loop, endless loop. So I came down. My character wasn't supposed to show up. We talked about this in another podcast. My character wasn't supposed to be there anymore. I had left the scene, and I basically threw the line to, it was inappropriate to come from me. I threw a line to this woman on stage, which was supposed to have come from her husband. And then I left and it got them on track, but they had literally gone in a loop for about two pages and they couldn't get out of the loop. So
speaking of loops,
yeah.
Why don't you tell the story about when you did Who's On First?
Oh, you brought up another one.
There you go.
So I don't know if we talked about this before or not, but
I don't know.
Anyway, I did the wonderful skit Who's On First, the Abbott and Costello skit with our friend Scott. Was back in college of Idaho days, for an audience of this big auditorium, I like to say 1,000, maybe it wasn't quite that much. It's big. It was a big place, a big auditorium. And we did it flawlessly. And we had the music department teacher. He played a little introductory music, take me out to the ball game. We did the thing and people went crazy. They went crazy. So I had the script and I sent the script back to my mom. It was dumb. I just a piece of paper. I could have kept it in Idaho in my dorm, but I sent it back home to my mom. Put this in the drawer. Protect this. Instead of making a copy, and we were done with it. And then this music teacher came up to us like a month later, said, "Oh, you guys, that was great. I loved it. Would you do it for my church? Because I would love." And sure, okay. So got a little cocky because we had done it not only a month ago, and of course, who's on first? If all of you who know what it is, you got to be very precise. It's a funny play on words back and
forth. A lot of wordplay
about a ball game. So I realized as we were getting near the day that, you know, maybe I don't remember. I didn't ask to get the script back. I didn't look it up. There was no looking up at that time online. And the day came around and Scott and I had run the thing a couple times. I guess he's pretty confident. I was going, am I doubting myself? Do I know this? I'm sure I know this. We did this just a month ago. Of course I know this. And I can't blame it on Scott, but that set it off at least. I was tenuous to begin with, and he went up on the pulpit where we're doing it, and their professor's saying, "Oh, this is, you're allowed this." So of course, end of the story, we end up selling his name because you're going to love this. So Scott looks at me and he crouches down before we start the thing, and I was going running the lines in my head. He's going, "Put a little pepper in here, boy. Put a little pepper in here." And I look and go, "What the f?" You know, if you know your stuff, you can handle things like that. It's fine. But it's like a 13-page script. And we went, because of me, we went from page like 1 or 2 all the way to page 11. there was no skit. And the thing was over. And I was thinking that they were being pious and just being quiet because they knew God was in the building. I like to believe that, but I know that's not the case.
You know what? Answers my question. You pissed off God during that performance, and he's been taking it out on you ever since.
And the most horrendous thing, Greg, was, I mean, I felt terrible, and people were embarrassed for this or otherwise, and they said, "Oh, come on down, we're having a little little food thing down, a little beverage thing down in the basement." So it was over, people are there with cake, and I remember thinking, oh my God, this is, I got to get out of here. And I'm walking down the stairs and somebody from the church turned to me, somebody who's obviously a devout Christian, and said to me, "Where'd you get that from? Out of the gutter?" Oh, I was in so much pain.
So
there's a couple things to take away from that. Never start a skit with, "Put a little pepper in here, boy." See, I love putting the blame on him. And the other thing is, don't go ahead and get by on your laurels. Go ahead and make sure you have a Laurel and Hardy attitude, and read up on your script, and don't get cocky. And I got cocky.
Don't get cocky.
I got cocky. That was a very humiliating thing. And the sad thing is, it sort of took away from the glimmer and the glow of the fact that we had done this so beautifully a month earlier. But the show we had done the month earlier, apparently after I left the school there in humiliation, I came back to California. That wasn't the reason. Scott stayed there and he said that they talked about the performance at the auditorium for years, that they thought that was such a great thing. So anyway.
Always followed by the statement, "But did you hear what happened a month later?"
Yeah. It's amazing. Greg has this great intuitive sense. People will be anywhere. They could be in the middle of the Saharan Desert talking about it. All of a sudden, they'll get a call on their phone. "Hi, were you just talking about that great skit that Daryl and Scott did once? I got a little extra information for you." Greg lives for that. Anyway, that was a good example, actually.
I think that's an excellent example. Thank you so much. And it actually took us to the end of this episode.
Oh, but I have so much more. I've got a copious notes.
You know what? I guess you went wrong.
Oh, damn. Oh, well. C'est la vie, c'est la guerre.
Okay, la vie, la guerre.
Oh, you did this so beautifully.
Thank you.
Thank y'all for being here.
Thank you for being here.
Maybe next time.
I think we're just both talking over. I'm sorry.
You have to say as much more important as I have to say.
I'll just have a smile.
Oh, be passive aggressive. I mean, have a great day. Thanks for being here. Bye-bye.
Bye. All joking aside.